So yesterday afternoon, my wife and I went walking to visit the Wisnickis to celebrate, to wish them a mazel tov for the bar mitzvah for Aryeh. And of course, not to worry, there was plenty of social distancing. We knocked and like ran away and waited for them to answer the door. And Dobby was telling me he's beginning a building campaign for expanding his yeshiva, which he meant by his own house. Because he ran out of rooms, Baruch Hashem, for all the kids to, you know, take their Zoom in this bedroom and that dining room and the living room and in the basement. And everyone's all over the place because everyone's house has turned into now a big big yeshiva, a big school. And Baruch Hashem, there's not enough room for everyone to have their own quiet space. And everyone's davening in the morning and screaming all over the place. And we've now taken on a different role. We were, you know, parents, and now we are teachers, we're rebbeim. We know we're teachers, we're principals, we're disciplinarians, we're now computer tech, you know, the Wi-Fi is always going down, restarting the Wi-Fi, restarting the internet. You know, we're teaching, we're the secretaries, we're doing all these photocopies now. The job of a parent has become a lot more difficult now, and with all the responsibilities of raising our children and teaching them and ensuring that they go to school and yeshiva. You know, one parent told me yesterday that their child figured out how to use Zoom so well that he took a picture of himself, a selfie on the Zoom, and put it as his background, and then he left, and the teacher thought that the kid was still there. So, you know, the parents have to still make sure the children are sitting in class and following along. So I want to talk about the topic of what it means to be a parent and a teacher, a Rebbe, how to balance between being a father and a Rebbe, which is not an easy task. But let's begin with the following Mar Makom. I'm going to share screen the Mar Makomos. Here we go. If you take a look at number one here, the Gemara tells us, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's also Rashi al Torah, that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Yotesma Beis that Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Kol ha-melamed ben chaveiro Torah. Anyone who teaches someone else's child Torah, it's ma'ala lava kasev kilo yaldo. It's as if the Rebbe himself had raised, had given birth to that child. When you're a Rebbe to a Talmud, that Talmud becomes your own child. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Ve'elu toldos Aaron and Moshe, the following are the children of both Aaron and Moshe. But then it only lists Elu Shmos ben Aaron, they were the children of Aaron, how they also called the children of Moshe Abenu. And so the Gemara tells us, Lo Melecha, to teach you that Aaron Yolad, Umoshe Limed. Aaron had raised the children, Moshe had taught the children. And the Fikach Nikra al Shimon, for that reason they were called the children of Moshe, because a Rebbe to a Talmud is a father to a child. And if a Rebbe could become a father to a student, certainly one's own father, one's own children are their Talmidim. That if you have a child, that means you have an obligation to teach that child, they're your student. The Rebbe could turn a student into a child, that means your child itself, he's born to be a child, you must teach them. You must raise them with Limud HaTorah. So there's a certain heavy obligation that rests upon every single father to teach their children. So how come we set up such a system where we send the kids to yeshiva, send them to school? Now why don't we teach them? Why don't we sit home like we're doing now the past month or so? Why don't we sit home and teach our children like we're supposed to? So there's a Gemara number two, the Gemara Ba Basa teaches us on Daf Chaf Aleph Amad Aleph. That Amar of Yehuda Amarav. Biram Zachar Osa Ish Latov. There is a person whose name is to be remembered for good. V'Yeshua Ben Gamla Shimo. His name is Yeshua Ben Gamla. Sheol Mole, who had it not been for his great actions, Nishtakeach Torah Mi'Yisrael. Torah would be forgotten from Am Yisrael. Shebetchila, initially, Misha Yeshlo Av, one who has a father, Milam de Torah, his father teaches him, and Misha Elo Av, one who doesn't have a father, Lohaya Lama Torah, he wouldn't learn. So what would happen with such a child, such an orphan? So my Darish, what did he learn? How did he know this? V'limayatem osam, v'limayatem itam, you have to make sure that they get taught, that they learn. And so for that reason, Hitzkinu Sheyo Moshivin Milam de Tinokos B'Yushalayim. He established that there should be a shul, there should be a base medrash, there should be yeshiva in Yushalayim. And my darsh, how do you know in Yushalayim you should set up a yeshiva? Ki mitzion teitei sara. Mitzion, from Yerushalayim, the capital of Eretz Yisrael, is going to be the source, a place that's going to be overflowing with Torah. V'adayin mishiyesh la'av. So a person who has a father, hayamala malamdo, he could bring him to Yerushalayim and learn with him there. But mishiyesh la'av, one who doesn't have a father, la'haya olav alam, he's not going to have anyone to learn with. No one's going to take him there. So Yeshua ben Gamla, hiskinu sheyu moshivin in bechal pelach v'pelach. They made a yeshiva in every single city. So it's local. So people can access it easily. Umachnis no son keben tezayin keben yudzayin. And a 16-year-old, the 7th-year-old will go learn. Umishaya rabo koesala. But if someone's rebbe got angry at a 16-year-old, you know what the Talmud would do? Mabit bo, he'd kick him the yacht and leave. No 16-year-old wants to be told what to do by a rebbe. Ad sheba Yehoshua ben Gamla v'tika, and he was established. Sheyu moshivin melamdi tinokos b'chol medina medina u'b'chol every year. There'd be a yeshiva in every city, in every village, every single neighborhood. U'machnisin osan keben sheish keben sheva. And they'd bring them in at the age of 6 or 7 years old to start learning. And Yehoshua ben Gamla had been moser nefesh in order to ensure that every child has a yeshiva to go to. But we see from here that the Me'ikra Din, the obligation falls upon the father. The father is the true Rebbe. The whole system Yeshua ben Gamla set up was simply as a bidyeved. The situation where there's no place to learn, those who don't have parents, but really you, the father, should be the child, rather be the Rebbe. You need to teach your children. So let's talk about what it means to teach your children. And there really are two components. I want to focus on one for now and maybe continue next week on the second component. But one component is teaching, and the other component is the relationship. I'll speak about the relationship a little bit at the end as a segue for next week. But today's shiur, I want to discuss the element of teaching a child. I'm not going to focus on the element of actually learning with a child. No, that's based on the pasuk Vishnantam Levanecha. That you're supposed to actually learn with your child, have a chavrus with your child. That's another element. Maybe we'll speak about it in a different week. But I want to speak about a different element of teaching. So there's a fascinating story in Parsha Shoftim. We're all familiar with most of the details of the story. And it's the haftorah for Parsha's Naso. Because Parsha's Naso talks about the Nazir, the halachas of a Nazir. And so the haftorah of Parshas Naso is the story of Shimshon and Manoach, his father. And Manoach and his wife were akaros. They weren't able to have children. They were barren. And then a Malach Hashem came to them and told them that she's going to have a child, and that child's going to be a special child. That child is going to be so special that he can't drink wine, and he became Kam Tamei Meis, and she became pregnant. And they had to make sure they wouldn't cut hair and all the halachas of a Nazir. And the wife told Manoach, I'm pregnant. The Ishel Kim told us we're going to have a child and these are the following halachas what to do. And he says, Manoach says, what am I supposed to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You sent me this beautiful child. V'yoreini ma naser lanar hayulad. What can I do with such a child? I don't know how to raise a child like this. And then the Ish HaElokim appears to the wife again. And she quickly gets Manoach and says, the Ish HaElokim, the Malach's here, come ask your question. And Manoach says to the Malach, Mayihiye, Mishpat Hanar HaMaseh, what's going to be with this child? What's going to be with him? How will I raise such a child? And the Malach Hashem says to Manoach, Mikol Hashemarti El HaIsha Tishamer. Everything I told your wife, you yourself should keep, you yourself should preserve. Rav Pinchas says, Tishamer sounds like that you yourself should be keeping these halachas. That you, Manoach, you should be a Nazir. So Rav Pinchas says, why should he be the Nazir? Shimshon was the Nazir. The child was the Nazir, not Manoach. That you should be everything I told your wife to do, Tishamer, you should keep? Rav Pinchas says, the only way to raise a child, to teach a child, is by showing the child, by modeling to the child, by proving that showing what's the halacha. Not by telling, and not by teaching, that's also another element, but by living it, by being in that way, living as a yid, living as a nazir. And if you look back at the sheet again, the Rambam writes in number 4 here, Hilchas Rambam, Hilchas Chagiga. Kol katan sheyachol leechos beyado shel aviv. Any child that's all able to hold on to the hand of the father, v'la'alos mi'shalayim l'harbayis, is able to go to Shalayim, he's able to go to Harbayis and the Shlosh Regalim, aviv chayiv l'halos, so the father has an obligation to bring the child up, u'laharos bo, and to show him, k'dei l'chanecha b'mitzvos, to be mechanichim, in the mitzvah aliyah l'regel. What's the word laharos bo doing there? Laharos bo? So the Sfarim point out, because you have to show the child. You can't say, okay, listen, Reuven, I want you to go to Aliyah L'Regel. You don't tell him. You go with him. You show him. Laharos bo. You have to model. You have to live it. I saw an incredible ma'isa. An incredible ma'isa as follows. A chassid went to speak to the Bnei Menachem from Gur. And he was talking about his child was so special. He had a 7-8-year-old child who was, his ruchnis level was so high. And he says to the Rebbe, please teach me how to raise such a special child. His slavis, his love for davening, his love, you know, he wraps himself in talis and tefillin every single day. He plays around with, makes up tefillin from Lego, and he's davening and davening so hard. He's such a special neshama. Rebbe, please tell me, how do I raise a child? I don't know how to raise a child. It's like a shimshon. It's like a nazir. Teach me what to do. And so the Rebbe, the Bnei Menachem, understood what was going on, and he says to him, stop davening at home. Go to shul to daven. He understood very quickly that the only reason why the child was davening like this is because he saw that the father was davening like this. The only way a 7-year-old sees their father davening is when the father davens at home b'yichidus. Your son isn't special. Your children do what your parents do. You shouldn't be davening at home. Go to shul to daven. He won't see you doing that. Yes, it's very nice a child is doing that. The lesson is that your children will follow whatever you do if you model for them. You want to teach them? You have to live in such a way. You have to show them the emes. Show them that you're passionate about keeping the Torah and mitzvahs. There's a fascinating Gemara at the end of Masechta Sukkah. Take a look back at the Mar Makomos. The Gemara says, well, before that, number 5, look at number 5 for just a moment. There's an element of Vishnantam Levanech, of teaching children, and there's another element in number 5 here, by the Kabbalah Satorah, it says, Rak Yishamer Lecha, you should preserve, Ushmer Nafshecha Me'od Pentishchach Etzadvar Ma'asher O'e Necha, you should remember everything I taught you, lest you forget, lest it remove it from your heart, and let it be known to your children and your grandchildren. Perhaps the Vodatam is different than Vishinantam. Vishinantam is to teach, is to learn. Vodatam is perhaps to show them. Perhaps this is the source of the modeling that a parent has to do for the children. So there's a Gemara at the end of Sukkah, now number 6. The Mishnah there in Sukkah Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph first tells us that all the Mishmaros, when it came to the Kohanim, so every Shabbos they would change over the guard. The new Mishmar would come and the outgoing Mishmar would leave. And then Shabbos, what would happen would they split the Lechem upon him. And it says in the Mishnah that the incoming class, the incoming Mishmar, would take 7 amounts. And the outgoing one would take 5 of the breads. There were 12 breads. 7 would go to the incoming Mishmar, and 5 loaves would go to the outcoming. And the incoming Mishmar would eat at the top, the northern part of the Mikdash, and the one that left, the leaving Mishmar, would eat at the south. But when it came to one Mishmar whose name was Bilga, the family of Bilga, Bilga, that says the Mishnah, would always divide and eat their lechem upon him in the south. They were punished. We'll see why they had to always go to the south. Even when they came in, they were always at the south. And they had a certain ring. There were rings that were used by the Kohanim. Their ring was closed shut. They put like a lock on it. And their window, their little locker, were locked up. So even though Bilga was able to work in the base of Mikdash, they were punished by always being in the south, and their lockers were locked up. Why was that? So if you look at the Gemara number 6, Nun Vav Amud Beis, one of the almost the last Gemara on the entire Masechta, the Gemara says that Tanu Rabbanan, Maisa b'Miriam bas Bilga, the daughter of Bilga. Miriam was her name. Shehemira data. She was, she went off the derech. She married one of these Greek officers. And kishenichnesu yevanim laheichal, when the yevanim entered into the Beis HaMikdash, hayisa mevaates mbishandala agabi mizbech, she kicked with her foot the mizbech and started yelling at the mizbech and said, Amr, Lucas, Lucas. And masay ata mechal mamamun shay Yisrael. When are you going to stop wasting the money in the karbonos of Am Yisrael? Stop it already. You're not here to protect them? Where is your God now? And she kicked it, she spit on it, she yelled at it. And when the Chashmaim won back the Beis HaMikdash, ukshishamu chachamim bedavar, when the Chachamim found out what Miriam was doing, kavuas tabasa, they locked up the ring for that family of Bilga. The satmas chalono, they closed off the window they would have in the Beis HaMikdash. The Yeshua, my mother say, no, the reason why they did this was because Mishmarso Shohelavo, they came late. They came late and fine. So either because Miriam kicked the Mizbeach or because they came late one day. So look at the next paragraph, the Gemara says. Bishma, I understand, Laman Damar Mishmarto Shohelavo, the entire Mishmar came late one day. So I understand then, Hainu de Kansina Lakula Mishmar, that's why there was a penalty for the entire Mishmar. The entire Mishmar had their windows shut, and they had to always eat in the south. But if it's the other pshat, Elaman de Amar Miriam Bas Bilga, Shehemir Data, that Miriam Bas Bilga, that she was one individual that was off the derech, Mishim Barta, because the daughter Kansinin La Lideda, the whole Mishmar gets punished because of one girl of many, the whole family is punished. And the Gemara says, Amar Bai In, yes. Kedamri inchi, like people would say, shosa, which means speech. Shosa the anuka b'shuka, you hear a child speaking in the shuk. O davua, o deema. She heard it from somewhere, either from her father or from her mother. You don't learn to speak in such a way unless you heard it from the parent. Has Miriam learned to kick the mizbech and speak in such a way from the mizbech? She must have heard it from her parents, either a father or mother or both. And therefore, even though she was the one who actually said it and was caught, Mistama, the whole family had some level of disgraceful way of speaking towards the Chachamim, towards the Beis HaMikdash, towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, when one of my children are misbehaving, doing something wrong, saying something they shouldn't be saying, acting in a way they shouldn't be acting, one of the first things my wife and I say, we look at each other and say, well, there must be something wrong that we're doing. We must be speaking in such a way that they're learning from us. There must be something that we're doing that they're learning from us. Because the only way that children learn it is from what we're doing. So it's not about what they're doing wrong, it's what we're doing wrong. So there's a beautiful Chassam Sofer in the Haggadah. He says on the words, V'afata hakesh shinav, when the Rasha asks his question and he removes himself from the klal. So we say we knock out the teeth of the Rasha. So the Chassam Sofer says, Avos achlu boser. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu says that the fathers, the avos, eat boser. Boser are grapes that are unripe, not ready to be eaten yet. So the avos achlu boser, they're eating unripe grapes. Vishnei banim takena, and you knock at the teeth of the children. So what's the connection of the fathers eating these types of grapes and knocking at the teeth of the children? So I'll read it to you, beautiful Chassam Sofer. Einenu roos, our eyes see. Kia avos, the father, afa pishelo sar midvar Hashem, even though he doesn't leave anything off from Hashem, he's following the halacha. He has the whole list. He davens, he learns, he gives tzedakah. V'yosim kol mitzvah sayim. He does everything, all the mitzvahs, nothing wrong. Mitzvahs anashim milumda. But he does it out of rote. He does it because he was trained to do it. Afa in shomim, he doesn't listen. V'lo lomim, he doesn't learn anymore. He doesn't take any musr. He doesn't take any chizik. He checks the box. I daven today. I put tefillin on today. I said my tehillim today. He doesn't listen to any mora hara. He doesn't listen to any rabbeim. He knows better than them. He doesn't care for them. It's like, you know, people now having a hard time with the social distancing. And the rabbis don't know what they're talking about. The doctors don't know what they're talking about. And they think they can blatantly go against the social distancing, all the rules. Because what do the rabbis know? What do the doctors know? Everyone making things up. So these people are normally people who don't believe, they think they know better than the rabbis. They have their own minyanim in the backyard because they think they're better than the rabbis. The rabbis are just making things up. These are people who are Balei Gaiva, and just, they're doing the right thing. They're following mitzvahs. They're chalashing for Yehei Shmei Rabba. They're chalashing Yehei Shmei Rabba. I need that Yehei Shmei Rabba. Not to belittle Chas V'Shalom Yehei Shmei Rabba. But they think they know better than everyone else. When 57 Rabbanim in the five towns, they write on a letter that there should be no minyanim no matter where you are. So how do five rabbis say, well, we're separate. We know better than you guys. So these are the types of people, whether they're parents or rabbeim, who know better. They know better than the rabbis. So they're not makabel any type of chizik, any type of musr. And the banim, the children, they see the father does everything right. But they're wearing tefillin, the tallis and tefillin, and home. Everyone sees their father davening now because they're all at home davening. They see the banim shenim roam the shomim the avoseim. But they don't see the parents speaking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't see them speaking respectively to about Rebbeim in the house. They don't take any Musr. I know better. This whole thing's made up. People are not really dying. The hospitals aren't overwhelmed. It's all a joke. So what do the children see? The children see the fathers are following the mitzvahs. But they don't talk about the mitzvahs. They don't talk about God. This is what the Chassam Sofer writes. So, to the children, nechsha maase avoseim, in their eyes, they view the acts of their fathers, shigayon, it's a joke. Shtus. Just show them Shabbos. They keep Shabbos just because their father kept Shabbos. Manichan tefillin, they put tefillin on. Vein ochlen neveos, they don't eat treif. Bakarachach, yotim mechlal yisrael. They're still mafish minat tzibur. When the tzibur makes a decision to do something, al tifro shminat tzibur, don't separate from the tzibur. So they see the parents, they're doing everything right, but they're not part of the tzibur. They're not feeling it. They're not modeling the right way. Ve'ein la'ashimam, don't be upset at the children. Ki avoseihem achlu apikorsis. The parents are eating and feeding apikorsis to the children. That's what it means boser, he writes. Boser, shilo gomru pri, the grape wasn't finished. It's minus. If you just do the mitzvahs, and you don't feel it, you don't experience it, you don't live it, that's underripe grapes. Your children will see right through you. Ubeneim, makim shineim. That's pshat in the Chassam Sofer. It's not just about doing mitzvahs and checking the box, it's about living the mitzvahs, experiencing them, showing respect to the rabbanim, to the tzibur. And therefore, the Chassam Sofer says, when it says in the Haggadah, Lefisha hotis atzmo min haklal, kafir be'ikr, when you take yourself because a rasha removed himself from the klal, then it says, v'af ata, and you too, it means af ata kama. You, your father, you, talking to the one reading the Haggadah, it's your fault, the father. Because you're feeding a child underripe grapes, you're giving him fake things, you're doing mitzvahs, and he sees right through you. Sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes your parents have to do things that don't seem so correct to the child. And I remember growing up, so my father's a doctor. And oftentimes he'd have to make calls on Shabbos and he'd have to go to the hospital on Shabbos. But growing up, I don't recall ever seeing him drive on Shabbos, or nor did I ever see him talk on the phone on Shabbos. We knew he did. We knew when the phone rang. He'd always go to the laundry room to speak in the laundry room away from us so we wouldn't see or hear. And when he had to go make rounds in the hospital, he'd always go early in the morning before we wake up. We wake up, we see the car in the driveway, we knew he'd be back. But I didn't see him ever drive. One time I saw him drive, there was an emergency, he had to drive someone to the hospital. That was anyone, not as a doctor, as a father, he had to take someone to a hospital. But never did I see him talk or drive on Shabbos. And someone recently who had to go to the hospital for Shabbos as a doctor because they were overwhelmed with the needs of the patients, so every doctor had to sign up to come in for Yontif. So one doctor was very concerned because he never worked a day in his life on Shabbos. He's a doctor, but he never worked. And I said, maybe an Eitzah is what my father had done. When your children see you talk on the phone, make sure maybe go to the other room. make sure to put your phone on vibrate so they shouldn't have to hear it. We didn't have that vibrate back then. But maybe there are other ways around that so they shouldn't have to see it. So yes, there's a mitzvah of pikuach nefesh, but there's certain ways to do this because sometimes the children could really glean the wrong message. And there's a steer in the eyes of the children. So there's a maisa, a terrible maisa that happened in Bnei Brak. There was a huge Talmud Chacham, and they caught him stealing. A massive Talmud Chacham. He was stealing from other people. And the Rebbeim couldn't understand how a person could steal. A Talmud Chacham, no less, how he was stealing. And so the Talmud Chacham was meeting with the psychologist to try to figure out what was going on. When a person steals, there's a problem there. There are other taivas in the world which could be understandable. Maybe we don't promote it, we don't encourage it, but the certain taivas what makes sense. You know, I remember going to Nativ Aryeh, Rabina said that, you know, when a person is Mechal Shabbos, there's something wrong with the person. A person grew up in a frum home, be Mechal Shabbos, you felt there's something wrong with that person. Nowadays, unfortunately, it's not the case anymore. But maybe 20 years ago, Mechal Shabbos wasn't something that was on the radar for a regular person going to a regular shiva in a regular environment. A person who steals, there's something wrong. People don't just steal. There's a reason why a person's stealing. It's not a normal taiva to steal. So they didn't understand why the Talmud Chacham was stealing. The psychologist understood and broke down the individual. Turned out that when he was growing up as a child, so his grandmother lived with him. And the grandmother was a diabetic. And we know diabetics can't have sugar, but she was addicted to sugar. So she was always, the grandma was always trying to sneak sugar into her room. And so the daughter, so the individual's mother, the daughter of the grandmother, would always sneak into the room late at night so her mom wouldn't take the sugar. She'd steal the sugar from the room because she wanted to save her mother's life. So the child would always see his own mother sneak into the grandmother's room to steal the sugar, steal the candy, steal the cookies. And growing up, that's what he saw. The mother was doing the right thing. She was pikuach nefesh. She had no choice. But what the child saw, that was the model. Now, I don't know what the solution would have been. But there's so many things we do that we don't realize that children pay attention to every single thing we do. They see right through us. When you talk to your spouse, they hear everything. And we make fun of one of our daughters. Well, not nice to make fun of anyone, but certainly not children. But one of our daughters, we call her fox ears because everything we say, she will hear us. She could be the opposite side of the house. We don't have such a big house, but the opposite side of the house, she will still hear what we're talking about. So we have to be so careful what we say, how we say things, because everything is being heard by our children. Everything we do is being watched by our children. The best way to teach is through modeling and modeling in the right way. So we were learning, you know, it's so nice, you know, I have mixed feelings about davening at home these days. Obviously, there's no choice, but you know, there's something special to it. You know, my son, Yisrael Meir, in our back room in the house, he sets up a shul every Shabbos. You know, we have chairs. We have eight chairs. We all sit. We have a men's section, a women's section. We have a shtender. We take turns davening for the Amud. We have aliyahs. We read from a fake Sefer Torah. It's very nice. We have some shirim also. So usually, I'm the one giving a shir. So we had a little shir essay on Pirkei Avos. We learned the second parak of Pirkei Avos together. And one of the Mishnahs in Pirkei Avos talks about the great praises that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gave to all his Talmidim. And one Talmud, Rabbi Yeshua, his praise was Asher Yolodaso. Ashrei Yolodaso, praiseworthy is she who had raised you, had given birth to you. So what's so great about the one who raised Rabbi Yeshua? What does that mean? All Rabbanim, whoever raised their rabbi, a great tzaddik, Rabbi Yeshua. So what does it mean that praiseworthy is she or he who raised Rabbi Yeshua? So there's a Gemara Chagiga that tells us that one time Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha and Blazar ben Chasma were visiting, they went to be Mekabel Pnei Rabbo from their Rebbe, Rabbi Yeshua. They went to a city called Pekin, it was Yom Tov, and there's a mitzvah of the Mekabel Pnei Rabbo Berego. So they went to visit Rabbi Yeshua. And they said to Rabbi Yeshua said to the two Talmidim, "Ma chiddush haya the Beis Medrash hayom? What was the chiddush today in the Beis Medrash?" And they said, "You know, Rabbi, Talmidecha anachnu, we are children. Mimecha anu shosim, we're drinking from your waters. So please, we don't want to teach you. You should teach us." Amar lehem, Rabbi Yeshua says, "Afal pike, nonetheless, iev shar the Beis Medrash below chiddush. It's impossible." that there is no chiddush in the Beis Medrash, please share with me what you heard. So they asked him, Shabbos Shel Mihayisa, who is the Shabbos this week? Now this was the time, those who are learning Daf Yomi Brachos, saw the Machlokas about Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, and they ended up having two Nesiim. There's Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they took turns. They wanted, whose Joshua was it this week? So he said it was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's Joshua this week. So, Vemaha Yasah Haggadah Hayom, what was his Haggadah? They spoke in Halach and Haggadah. What was his Chiddush in Haggadah? So they said to him, they spoke of Parshas Hakel. And he says, what does it mean, Hakel Sa'am, gather the nation? Hakel was a mitzvah every single Sukkot, the Chalamoid Sukkot. All the nation were gathered together. Ha'anashim, the men. Vanashim, the women. Vataf, and the children. Imanashim Bam Lomor, the men come to learn. Nashim Baal Slishma, the women come to just hear. Taf Lama Ban, why do the children come? So he says, Kidei Litain Schar Lemiveyehem. To bring Schar to the ones who bring them. The ones who are schlepping the children, the parents, give Schar, extra Schar. So Yeshua says to his Tamidim, Amar Lahem, Margalis Tova Haisa B'yedchem. You had a beautiful jewel in your hand. Ubikashim La'ov D'mimenu. You wanted to have it lost from me. You almost didn't share this Chiddush to me. What a beautiful Chiddush. So it's a very nice Chiddush. But what's so special about this Chiddush? What's so great about this? That you get schar for the parents schlepping the children to the Beis Medrash, to the Hakel. That's such a Chiddush. So special to Rabbi Yeshua. So Meshech Chochma points out that when the Yushalmi, there's a different girsa. It says, Margalas Tova Hayisali. It was special to me, to Rabbi Yeshua. Something very personal to Rabbi Yeshua. About this drasha. What was so special? So Yushalmi says that when Reb Dosa ben Hurkanus saw Reb Yeshua once walking, he quoted the following pasuk in Yeshayahu. Es mi yored Deya, who's going to teach Deya? Who's going to teach Halacha? Ves mi yavin Shmuel, the pasuk says, who's going to understand Halacha? Gemulei mechal, those who nurse, nursing from their parents, from their mother. Atiki mishadai, those who are nursing. What does that mean, says the Yushalmi? I remember. Rabbi Dosa says, I remember you, Rabbi Yeshua, as a little boy, as a little child. Zocha nisha esa imo, that your mother would be bolechas arisasa, would take your crib, your carriage, lebeit haknesses. You were a little baby, you didn't understand anything. But when you were a little child, nonetheless, your mom would push your stroller, bishvil shiyadapku azna bedivrei Torah, so your ears are surrounded by Divrei Torah, words of learning, the base measures, the base knesses. And therefore, this was so chavid because Rabbi Yeshua himself was a taf. He was an infant who was brought to the hakel. He was brought to the base measures by his mother. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Ashrei Yoldaso, praiseworthy is your mother who raised you because she made you who you were. You didn't understand a thing. But putting you in an environment, in a situation, an experience that's going to lead you to success and value Limna Torah, Ruchnis, that's what's going to make a person great. So it's all about not what you teach only, but also how you model. And Reb Biederman explains that's pshat why Maseches Avos is called Maseches Avos. Maseches Avos, why isn't it called Maseches Derech Eretz, Maseches Midos Tovos? That's all about Midos Tovos, it's all about Derech Eretz. So he says, a person who wrote to you want to teach your children to go on the right path. It's not sufficient to just teach them to teach them what to do right, what to do wrong, what not to do. Ella yekaimu ha'avos atma midos tovas. It's a lesson to the parent, not to the children. It's a lesson to you and I. We're the father. We're the avos. You want to be a father? You learn maseches avos, and when you learn maseches avos, then it will trickle down to your children. You're going to model it for them, what it means to have Derech Eretz, what it means to have Midos Tovos. So this is the element of teaching and modeling. I want to just springboard for next week's topic. Now, last week, so one of my children, somebody's bothering her. I was trying to figure out what it was bothering her, and I sat down with her trying to get to understand what she was feeling, and she wouldn't open up to me. And there's only so much you could pry. You could try different avenues, but she wasn't opening up to me. And so I said to myself, I said that the reason why she's not opening up to me, there must be something lacking in my relationship with her. Certain things you're embarrassed to share with your parents, Eina Chanami. So then I said, and I remembered, I see Jeff is on the screen now, so I remembered something special I heard from Jeff when he spoke at his father's Levaya a few months back, that his father would have this rotation of walkie-talkies, which I think, if I remember correctly, in Leil Shabbos, the rotation of who he'd walk with around the block to talk with them. And that very much stuck with me. So I said to my daughter later that night, I said, let's go for a walk. It was late at night, 9:15 at night. We went for a long walk around the academy area. I didn't even bring up about whatever was bothering her. But to me, it was a sign of the relationship, that I needed to build something great with that relationship. And if she wants to share with me, she'll share with me. But this is the second element of what it means to be a Rebbe and what it means to be a father, what it means to be a mother. There's one element of the teaching. That teaching is most impactful when it's done by modeling. And then there's a second element about building that relationship. And when both of them are together, that's the best way to lead as parents and as Rebbeim. So just as to end off, so this will be hopefully next week to continue the topic of different ideas and different vortlach to give chizik. I know these are not chidushim to anyone. We all know that we have to model. We all know that we have to have relationship with our children. But like many things we have in Musa and Chizuk, we have to constantly be mechazik this area. And the more we hear about it, the different angles, and even the different divrei Torah, those chidushim just brings things more to life. We have to be constantly reminded. Tefillah, we know tefillah is important. But if we're not reminded that we're davening to Kavdash Baruch every single day, we don't really appreciate it. So we have to appreciate our roles as parents, and now as teachers and as rebbeim more so than ever. And Mirat Hashem, through that, we will build beautiful homes. And when we go out and send our kids back to school, we send our children back to yeshiva, those relationships should continue. We should be zochah to see that day soon, very soon, where kids go back to yeshiva, the yeshivas and shuls are filled, and we go back to Yerushalayim, all the yeshivas, all the shuls, all the houses are taken to Yerushalayim with the gula shleima ba'amitas from here v'yameinu. Amen v'yameinu.